Chapter 8, verse 7 of the Bhagavad Gita.
So we are in chapter 8 of the Bhagavad Gita. This chapter is called the imperishable Brahman or the imperishable Lord. And how can we know this Lord? What are his qualities? And it is a very practical chapter that gives us step by step techniques on who is this Lord and how we, this limited egoistic individual, how can I know this almighty powerful Lord that is all pervading? And so that is what we shall be studying in the next few weeks, and we have already been talking about it last week, because Arjuna, the student, had asked that how can a person remember you at the time of death? Because he had heard that whatever is your last thought at the time of death, that is where you will reach. And so the teacher in the verse says that at the time of death, when the person leaves his body, or in the case of a saint, when his ego dies and he becomes one with that reality, so at the time of death, for most of us who are not saints, when we are leaving this body, whatever thought you have, that is where you will reach. Because it is very well known that whatever, in the sixth verse, he says that whatever thoughts you keep throughout your life, the strongest thoughts, that is what you will reach. A person wanting to be a basketball player, throughout his life he's thinking basketball, basketball, basketball. A person wanting to be a musician or a great singer, all the time he's practicing music, taking lessons, joining the symphony and performing. And so a person wanting to climb Mount Everest makes that his goal or her goal. So he says that whatever your overwhelming thoughts are throughout your life, that is the goal you will ultimately reach. Obviously, if you have been thinking materialistically throughout your life, suddenly at the time of death, you're not going to remember the Lord. Or a person who has been a devotee of the Lord all his life or her life, it will be very spontaneous that he or she will remember him. And that is what is important, that throughout our life, we have to make this our goal, that I have to constantly remember him, constantly be with him. A person might say, that's impossible. You know, I'm so busy, you don't know my schedule. I wake up in the morning and then I have kids to get ready for school, and then I have to get ready myself, and I have to go to, cook breakfast, and I have to go to work, and all day I have to put up with the horrible boss, and then I come home and then I have to make dinner for the kids, pick them up, take them to all their activities and soccer, and you don't know what all. How can I remember him? I don't even have 5 minutes to myself. So to answer that question, we have the verse number 7. Actually, this is probably one of the most beautiful verses in this chapter, and we shall spend some time talking about it. So the verse number 7 in chapter 8.
Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu amanusmara yudhyaja mayyar pitamano buddhi ame vashyasya samshayaha.
So tasmat, therefore. See, the Gita is a very, very scientific and a logical book. Nowhere he says that I am the Lord, and whatever I say, you have to believe 100%. If not, you will suffer in hell. Nowhere in the Gita it is said that. He has already given a series of arguments that whatever you are is because of what you think. And whatever you think throughout your life will be what you think at the time of death. And if you think of me at the time of death, the Lord says, you will reach me. So he says, therefore, now what is the conclusion of this? It is like, square on the hypotenuse is the square on the, and therefore, then you come up with the Pythagoras theorem. So here also he says, therefore, tasmat sarveshu kaleshu, at all times, sarvakala, at all times, mam anusmara, remember me, the Lord says, mam anusmara. Anusmara means, smara means to remember. Anu means constantly remember. Constantly remember me. And then he says yudhyacha, and he says fight. And then he says mai arpit manobuddhi. Arpit means offered, given up, constantly placed in where? In me. What? Mana and buddhi, your mind and your intellect, place it in me. And then what will happen? Mam eva ashyasi asamshaya. Asamshaya, there is no doubt. Samshaya means doubt. Asamshaya means there is absolutely no doubt. Mam eva, me alone, ashyasi, you shall reach. You shall reach me alone, there is absolutely no doubt. So we will spend some time talking about this shloka. He says, how can at all times remember me continuously? He said, that's so difficult. Like we said, I am busy. My schedule is so busy. How can I remember him constantly? We find that in this world, what you love, it is not hard to remember constantly. Like a person, a girl has just fallen in love with a boy, you know, they are 18, 19, 20 years old. And she's constantly thinking about him, you know, day and night, you know, how can I dress myself better to look attractive for him? And then when we meet, where are we going to go? What are we going to eat? And so constantly, yeah, not after marriage, 10 years after marriage, you know, he's lucky if she thinks about him 5 minutes a day. But right after, you know, they have just met, that's all. And same thing for the boy, you know, he wants to go buy her a gift and, you know, what things will please her. And they don't have to make an effort. You don't have to plan that I will, you know, think about you for 30 minutes every Sunday morning. You know, that is how we think about God. Okay, when I go to church. But they don't have to. So he says that constantly you can remember him. But our problem is that we separate our life. You know, okay, I have my home. Then I have my office. Then I have my sports. And then I have God, you know. So God is somewhere in one corner. So when I'm at home, I'm thinking about my children. When I'm at work, I'm thinking about my work. When I'm at playing, I think about the game. And then when I'm in church or the temple. So they say that this separation of church and work and play should end. You should have the oneness everywhere. Even when I'm at home, and when I'm taking care of my children or I'm cooking for my guests, I should say that it is the Lord here who is there in the form of my child, in the form of my husband, in the form of my guests. When I'm cleaning my house, instead of saying, why do I have to work so hard? You say the Lord resides here. Lord resides everywhere, and he does in this house. And I'm cleaning his temple. And so when you do that, or when you're doing the dishes, every activity can be divinized that I'm doing the Lord's work. And then that activity becomes meditation, activity becomes a prayer. Similarly, when I'm at work, all my customers, my patients, my clients, my people I work with, I see the Lord in them. And then when I take care of them, it becomes a service of the Lord. I'm not just doing it for the money. Yes, I have to earn a living. But underneath, there should be a constant hum of thinking that the Lord is working through me. And similarly at work, when I'm at play, again, when I win, I should not be arrogant that, oh, I won and I defeated that guy in tennis or basketball, but, oh Lord, I'm thankful. And if I lose, you know, it's okay, because that person then can become equanimous. He can become balanced, because every activity is dedicated to the Lord. And of course, when I'm in the church or the temple, then it is easy. So every activity of yours can become a prayer, can become a divinity, can become a way of purifying the mind. And this Raman Maharishi has this very beautiful verse. It says, Ishwar arpitam nechayakritam chitta shodakam mukti sadakam. So unselfish actions dedicated to the Lord. I think those who can't see, I can read it out. Unselfish actions dedicated to the Lord. What do? They purify the mind. They make the mind pure. When you're thinking about the Lord, the more you think about him, the more you get. Because Lord, as we know, is all love, compassion, kindness, charity. beauty, you know, joy, all the wonderful qualities are in him. So the more I think about him, the more my mind becomes pure and then makes me liberated. It is an aid to liberation. People always wonder, what is this liberation that we are talking about? Does that liberation means that I leave my family and just go live in the forest? Or is the liberation something that will happen after death? You know, they say, oh, marne ke baad hi mujhe mukti milegi. You know, when a person is suffering. So liberation does not mean freedom from some bondage. It is to live in this world free from all the problems that occur. The problems occur to everybody, but if a person can live in this world and continue to function thinking about the Lord, then he or she becomes one with him. And then such a person, as we see in the lives of saints, don't get bothered. In our case, you know, if it is hot, oh, it's so hot, and we start complaining. You know, yeah, it's going to be hot. You know, you put on the air conditioning, and sometimes if you can't and you are a place and you are working outside, you have to work in the garden, just do it cheerfully. It's okay. It's July in Bakersfield. It's bound to be hot. Or if it's cold, then we start complaining, oh, it's freezing. Oh, you know, learn to accept the heat and cold of the world. Talking about cold reminds me of this story. There was this person in Poland. You know, people in Poland, Polish people are, they kind of say that they are not very intelligent. I don't know if it's true or not, but this joke applies to them. So if anybody is of Polish ancestry, please don't get upset. Anyway, so anyway, this farmer in Poland had a field. He had a very large farm. And it was on the border of Russia and Poland, and that was his farm. But Russia had claimed it, that it belongs to us. And so they had built a fence, and so he was considered part of Russia. But he didn't want to be, you know, he was Polish. But anyway, the Polish government appealed to the Supreme Court and to the World Court, and there was a many years of dispute, and finally they decided that his farm is in Poland. It is not in Russia. So they moved the fence, so now he was very happy. He said, oh, I'm very happy my farm is in Poland. It's not in Russia. He said, yeah, that's good, but why are you so happy? He says, you know why? Because I won't have to go through one more of those Russian winters anymore. He says, I'm sick and tired of that cold Russian winter. Thank God I'm in Poland. So we are like that. You know, heat and cold bothers us so much. You know, yeah, if it's cold, you put on a jacket. And same thing, illness, you know. Sometimes I'm healthy, sometimes I'm not healthy. If I'm not healthy, instead of saying, oh, I'm so depressed, and start crying and commit suicide and all. No, go take some pills. Go to the doctor, take the medicine, and if you can fix it, fix it. If not, cheerfully accept it. Oh, Lord, this is my destiny, my prarabdha, and I cheerfully accept. Heat and cold, health and ill health. At the mind level, joy and sorrow. You know, everybody has joys and sorrows. Problems come to everybody. And when there's joy, we get so overjoyed. And when there is some tragedy, you know, oh, he didn't say hello to me this morning, then I'm depressed. You know, whole day I'm sad. Why? If he didn't, it's okay. I'm fine. So that attitude that I am fine irrespective of joys and sorrows, success and failure. You know, people, they do well, and we find especially sometimes students, they commit suicide, you know, because especially in India, because there is so much pressure to succeed. But if they remain equanimous, then that person can remain balanced. And so that's what he says, remember me at all time and dedicate your mind to me. Mai arpit mano buddhihi. Why does he say mana and buddhi, mind and intellect? Because with the mind I have to love him. As we have said before, develop a relationship with the Lord of love. He is my father, she is my mother. Mother Goddess, my friend, my child, my beloved, or my loving master who has sent me on this world. So have a relationship of love, and along with love, your intellect. See, if you only love something but you don't know what it is, then that love doesn't stay very, very long. You know, I love God, and then the moment some tragedy comes, then I say, what God, which God? You know, he's heartless. Sitting somewhere up there, all he has to look, he's looking for me, and every little tragedy that goes by, he makes sure I get it. You know, our faith immediately wavers. So he says, know about him. Know that he is the infinite Lord of this universe, and in his mercy he has done so much for us, given us so much, this body, this life, this beautiful world to enjoy, to live in, all the flowers, the moon, the sun, all this beauty, all these mountains, and everything he has created for us to enjoy, to experience. And I have to then take responsibility for using this earth wisely and for sharing whatever good fortune I have, whatever the Lord has given me. And in this country, we find that we have a lot more than what, you know, people in Africa or people in, you know, the poorer countries. So it is my duty that I have to share what the Lord has given me, because that is, and it can be sharing, can be any way. It can be financial, it can be in labor, you know, you can go and help in, you know, some place. You can share your love, you know, somebody is unhappy, you go help that person. So he says, share and then constantly remember me. And even while you're doing your duties, do not forget that you are in fact divine. Because I am in you, the Lord says, I am in every cell of you. And it is that reality that is working through you. It is I who is working through you, and constantly do not ever forget that. Just as Gurudev actually in his commentary, this says like this verse, actually those of you who have the book and should read it, he has given four full pages, very beautiful and detailed commentary. I don't think I can do justice to this verse. But he has given a very beautiful commentary, and those who don't have the book, I would recommend you can buy either the individual chapter, or better if you buy the whole set, because then you can also refer to the earlier chapters. But he has done a very, very detailed explanation. So he says in his commentary, Gurudev says, it's like an actor, you know, an actor who is playing a role, and say an actor is playing a role of a king. Now, even when he is playing the role of a king, he remembers that I am not the king. I am, you know, Charlton Heston or whatever, you know, Jack Nicholson or whatever my name is, the actor's name, or I am Shah Rukh Khan or Dilip Kumar. So when, even when he is playing the role of a king, he doesn't say, oh, I am the king of the land. And then he comes home and tells his wife, I am the king, bring my shoes. And the wife will bring the shoes and, you know, hit him on the head. So, or he says, I'm playing the role of an alcoholic, and then he comes home and starts drinking. So he says, while he's playing that role, he continues to remember that I am not the role. But, you know, that reminds me of the story. Come this side. A lot of you must have heard how what happened to Heath Ledger. You know, Heath Ledger, who was an Australian actor, he played the role of the Joker in the Dark Knight in the Batman movie. He was actually, there were three or four great actors who were trying out for the role, and he was selected. And when he started playing that role, Jack Nicholson, who himself has done a lot of roles of psychopathic killers, he told him, he said, be very careful, because this role is so intense that you may get caught up in it, and become very careful. But Heath Ledger, it says that he got so caught up in this role, you know, the Joker, where he used to have his lips up and with that makeup. And he would not take out the makeup. He would go home with the makeup every day. And all the time he started thinking, I am that Joker. I am that, you know, psychopathic, crazy villain. And it became so bad that he actually only could sleep 2 hours at night, because he was constantly tortured by these thoughts that I am this horrible villain. And he would sleep with that makeup on, and then he started taking prescription drugs and sleeping pills and psychiatric medicine, and ultimately they found him dead with an overdose of, you know, sleeping pills. So because he was so caught up in that role that he actually, you know, he could not separate his life from his fantasy. And we think that that is an anomaly, but we are all exactly like Heath Ledger. We are not any different from him. Because the Upanishads tell us, scriptures tell us, you are divine. You are that divinity, you are Brahman, you are God himself incarnated upon this earth. And you are capable of that same divinity that we saw in Jesus or Buddha or Shankaracharya or Swami Chinmayananda or Swami Tejomayananda. All these great saints that have walked the earth, they were not, you know, they were not created of anything different. They had the same hands and legs as you have. They had the same eyes and nose. They had the same mind and intellect. It is that their mind and intellect was turned towards the Lord. But we don't. And so not knowing that we are divine, we think ourselves to be this role. This role that Anil or Arun or whatever job I named I am, whatever name I have been given, I take myself to be that role. And then I get so caught up in my joys and sorrows and success and failure and ill health and good health. And then I'm constantly stressed. You know, one day life, you know, the waves are up, so I'm happy. You know, like a surfer, he's on top, he's happy. And then when he crashes down, he should understand, yeah, that's the thrill of surfing. You know, one day I'm up and one day I'm down. But we don't, because we get so caught up. And this body is not permanent. It is going to have problems, you know. The mind is not going to be permanently happy. The intellect is always not going to be satisfied. Someday I have success. So a person who knows that I am that Brahman, I am that Atman, I am that consciousness, and I'm playing this role that has been assigned to me, the role of a mother or a father or a teacher or a student or a doctor or a pharmacist or an engineer. This role has been given to me. I play it to the best of my ability, just as an actor when he's playing the role. And people say, oh my God, we couldn't even tell. You know, in the movie he acts like a drunkard, or he acts so well. And or like a psychopath, like Jack Nicholson. He's a very nice guy, but most of the roles he plays are absolute villain roles, you know, really horrible roles. And he does so well that he wins the Oscar, he wins the Academy Award. But he doesn't forget that I'm really Jack Nicholson, I'm not that murderer. So we have to constantly remember that we are that infinity, we are that consciousness, we are Brahman, we are that Lord who has appeared on this earth and to play the part. And whatever role I have been assigned, I do it to the best of my ability. I do not do it half-heartedly, oh, it's just a role. No, I do it to the best of my ability, but constantly remember that A, that the divine Lord is in me, so I should perform actions that befit, that fit, that if I am divine, my action should be divine, my action should be pure. And secondly, I should remember that at this moment, if I am deluded, which all of us are, because we are so caught up in this body, but this body is not me, and this body satisfaction is not my final goal. This mind satisfaction, my final goal is self-realization, God-realization, and through knowledge, through remembering the Lord, through love, through prayer, through listening to teachers, you know, like we have next week, Acharya Vimalji coming. So listening to good teachers and talking about it and meeting in study groups like that to discuss. So through these methods, I can slowly turn my mind's attention, which is right now all in the world of objects, emotions, and thoughts. Turn the mind's attention to the Lord within. The Lord is not only outside, but he is within me. So constantly remembering that all my actions are as a result of his energy. My hand is moving, my mouth is speaking, my ears are listening because of the Lord. So constantly remember and then function in the world. Function to do your actions to the best, but do not get too caught up in that. And if joys and sorrows come, it's okay. You know, if one day there is joy, tomorrow there will be sorrow. If one day there is sorrow, tomorrow there will be joy. Nothing in this world is permanent. Nothing in this world is, because it is an impermanent world. I am impermanent, this world is impermanent, these buildings, cars, clothes, everything is impermanent. Only permanent is one. And if you hold on to him and realize that I am a part of that permanence, then nothing can happen to me. That's why these great saints, even when they were crucified, they had no problem because they had realized that I am that eternal Father in heaven. And these people cannot kill me. Same thing, you know, these so many saints in India were tortured, you know, and by the Muslims, they were put in the walls and they were killed and they were, but they cheerfully went to their death and they didn't give up their faith. They were forcing them, you have to convert or we shall kill you. They said, that's fine. I am already one with the God. All you can do is kill my body. You cannot kill me. So that's why reading the lives of saints helps us to realize that we can also become immortal. In fact, there was a very famous paragraph or little verse that I had memorized when I was a child, and it says, lives of great men all remind us, lives of great men all remind us that we can make our lives sublime. Lives of great men all remind us that we can make our lives sublime, and departing leave behind us footprints on the sands of time. So we can leave footprints on the sands of time when we see the lives of these great people, and that inspires us. So he says, never forget that you are divine. You are not this ordinary human being. Do not ever think yourself to be ordinary. Every one of us is capable of doing great things. And we even tell our children, you know, that think good and think high and you will become high. If you think low, you will be low. The last point in this verse I want to talk about is, he says fight. You know, what does the teacher mean by fight? You know, are we supposed to fight with the world? Well, we have to look at the context where this Bhagavad Gita was taught, because the student Arjuna was facing a war, just war, where he had to fight the evil soldiers on the other side who had illegally taken over his kingdom, and they were evil, they were corrupt, and the whole country was going down because of these Kauravas who were the evil. Just as when Hitler took over Europe, it was the duty of the Americans and to go across the ocean to remove that evil. So at that time, the evil Hitler was in the guise of Kauravas, and so Arjuna was the commander of the good forces, and he was supposed to fight this war. But when he goes to the battlefield, the evil on the other side was not anybody unknown, but were his own cousins. It was two branches of the same family. One was evil and one was good. And so he had to fight his own cousins, his own grandfather, his own teacher. A lot of them were on the side of the wrong. And so he said, how can I kill my own people and destroy them just for a piece of land? So the message to him was that you are not doing it just for a piece of land. You are doing it because these people are ruining the whole country and they need to be removed. And it is your duty to fight at this moment, even though, the scriptures usually preach peace. But in this situation, when everything had been tried and these people could not be removed, so it was Arjuna's duty to fight, and that's what he tells him. But then why should we study this scripture? Where are we fighting? So I was reading another commentary. They say that we are constantly at battle. We are constantly having challenges in our life. You know, we deal with all kinds of fears, all kinds of negative emotions, you know, pride and anger and greed and jealousy and hatred, and, you know, all these emotions arise. And we have to constantly battle them. We have to constantly work to make sure that these emotions don't take over my mind. You know, anger, it should not. I should have control of my mind, because in anger, I say things and do things that later on I regret. If I find that I'm getting greedy or jealous or hatred or prejudice or looking negative or talking negative, that is a battle I have to win. I have to constantly be alert. And in life, we are faced with so many challenges. You know, at home we have challenges. And I have decided to get up in the morning to meditate. So I set the alarm for 5:30. Alarm rings, I say, it's so dark, you know, it's getting dark nowadays, it's so cold, let me, so I press that snooze button, or I turn off the alarm and go back to sleep. Or I get up and I say, okay, I'm going to, you know, wash my face and then meditate or pray. And then suddenly I see the morning paper and I say, let me read the morning paper, let me, you know, have a cup of coffee and then I will meditate. By that time, you know, your time is gone. And same way at work, you know, we are constantly, especially, you know, mothers, you know, you're constantly faced with challenges, you know, with the children, with the spouse, with the home, with balancing work and, you know, home and, you know, all those leisure, and constantly there are challenges. Even men at work, you know, you're faced with competition, you're faced with co-workers who are, and at work, at home, constantly there are battles. And we fight them not with, you know, crushing them or putting them down, but bravely with love and compassion. If somebody's hateful or angry, we try to diffuse it with love. So battles are there constantly for everybody. We do not look at them. And battle does not mean it is something I have to fight or I have to crush. The idea is that I should be able to overcome life's problems, little problems. And that is called titiksha. You know, actually, those of you who are doing the Tuesday class, Tuesday there is a 1-2 lady study group. Some of you are going for that. And that is one of the qualities Shankaracharya sells. It is titiksha, the ability to withstand life's pinpricks. Life will constantly give you pinpricks. You know, life is not going to be smooth. But if you can cheerfully withstand them, that is called a wise person. That is a divine person. And so these are the battles that we constantly have to fight. And it is not a battle against me, against the world, but how I can make the whole world part of me. Let me combine everybody with my love, with my sharing, with my goodness. That's what we find in these sayings. They did not try to force anybody. They did not, they just, with their good love, they spread love everywhere, with their sweet talk, with their advice, with their compassion, they were able to win over the world. I mean, there was only one Christ and he had 10 disciples, and now there are how many billion Christians? And there was one Buddha, and maybe he talked to a few hundred people in his lifetime. And there is so many, 1 or 2 billion Buddhists in the world right now. You know, there was one Shankaracharya. There was one Swami Chinmayananda. He left his body in 1993. And today we have more than 250 such centers throughout the world where adults are studying, children are studying. And there's, you know, every major city in the world has. So that's what these saints, they did not win by force. You know, Alexander or Hitler or Napoleon or Nelson, they won the world by force and they died. And now who knows where is Alexander, where is Napoleon, where is Nelson, where is Hitler? They're all gone. But Buddha or Christ or Swami Chinmayananda will live forever. Why? Because they, with love and compassion, they overcome. They also had problems in their life. We see if you read the lives. But it is through love and through constant remembrance of the Lord. And then he says, devote your mind and intellect to me and then you will reach me. So that is the goal of human birth, to reach the Lord. And through this very, very practical, this verse is very beautiful, very practically given. We can all do that. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramayah.